Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
And our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, 26 to 34. And he said to them, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It's like the grain of a mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. What is it like where you are from? I always love that question, what's it like where you're from? And now I'm used to describing for most people, most of the time when living abroad, what Maine, New England is like. And sometimes even when traveling here in the good old USA. One time in particular, I was down in Nashville, Tennessee, and this is no offense to anybody from Nashville. I know Nancy, our administrative assistant, is from Memphis, so I don't want her angry at me this week. But I was one of my best friends was working for GE, the same one who calls me Preacher Man. Was working for GE in Memphis, and one of my other friends was driving back from the West Coast. And so I was at a conference in Nashville, and so we all met up, three Mainers in Nashville, Tennessee, to do the tourist thing. So, and if you think I'm kind of crazy or something, I'm the normal one of my friends. So we went to a barbecue place, because that's what you do, right, when you're in Nashville. And the waitress, she asked us where we're from. And we said, "We're from Maine," and we got all very proud. And bless her heart, she said, "Where is that?" And we laughed, like you're laughing, but then we realized she was not laughing or smiling. So then we kind of looked at each other and said, "Okay, well, New England." And she got this big smile on her face. And she said, "Wow, welcome to our country." She's like, "What is it like where you're from? I always wanted to go there. You speak English so well." Wow, indeed. What's it like where you're from? See, in these two parables, Jesus is trying to get at this idea. Jesus is trying to describe what the kingdom of God is like to people who have not been there, have not experienced it. And Jesus lives in the kingdom. So he tries to explain what it's like. So it's Jesus, without being asked a question, "What's it like where you're from?" He says, "I'm going to tell you what it's like where I'm from. What's it like?" And Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to different things in his teaching. And kingdom is a little confusing because we don't really live in a world where kingdoms happen so much anymore. So I don't love that royal language. So I'm going to kind of use interchangeably in this sermon today, non-royal language. So I'm going to call it God's realm. Or if you really want to get at it, it actually is God. What's God's neighborhood like? And Jesus says in the passage from Mark that his neighborhood, where he's from, is a lot like seeds. We have two parables, two stories telling us something about this kingdom of God, this realm of God, this neighborhood of God. So Jesus begins to tell about a farmer, and it's any farmer who goes out and plants his or her seed in the ground. And they plant the seed, and instead of worrying about the seeds, lets nature take its course. And the seed grows first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. And this is an amazing miracle, right, that we're so used to it. The fact that you can carry seeds in your hand that can grow into food that can feed your entire family is amazing, right? Isn't that amazing? And then the farmer goes out and harvests the fruit of the harvest. And the words in this text say, sleep and rise night and day. But the farmer didn't do anything to the seed, but trusted in the natural order and realize the greatest truth, that the farmer knew that you couldn't do anything to help that seed grow. And we can understand that once we plant the seed in the ground, no matter how much we worry about the crop or how much we pace the floor or how many times we check the weather channel or we check the weather app on our phone or how much we complain about wet weather or dry weather, we can't do anything. We just have to let the natural order of things be done. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to surrender to that natural order. Sometimes we cannot let it go and we get caught up trying to help the natural order and it becomes kind of miserable for us. We become grouchy. People tend to avoid us because we want that thing to grow. If we do our job of planting the seed right, the seed will do its job and the harvest will come. So Jesus is comparing the realm of God, God's neighborhood, to this idea of a natural order. There's a naturalness, an organic, lovely way that the neighborhood of God just happens. Haven't we felt that? Have you felt that before? Being part of a community of faith like this community of faith where the relationships and the work that we do is just a natural, comfortable feeling to it. Like it just happens and it's deep. You can't force community, not true community, but you have to make space for it. So Jesus is saying that where he is from and with his death and resurrection has come in and amongst us, that there's a need to surrender to the natural order like in growing crops. What that means is that we cannot stop the growth or control it or make it happen faster. So Jesus is saying that in a way, we don't bring God's kingdom, God's neighborhood, like life from a seed. It's natural. Martin Luther puts it this way, that he said, the kingdom of God comes of itself. We can't think it, will it, or worry it among us. And when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy kingdom come. Okay, good. I just want to make sure everyone's still with me, you know. Do a little test there. And when we say that, what we're saying is we're hoping that it may come to us. So if we have to let it happen, or to steal a line from one of our favorite movies, Finding Nemo, the sea turtles say, go with the flow. The neighborhood of God comes of itself. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, thy kingdom come, that's not an order, but a surrender. And part of that is acknowledging that thine, and later on we say, thine is the kingdom. And it's God's work of making this connection to each other and to this world to make this neighborhood a reality. And we build upon that solid fact. Jesus tells us that God's neighborhood on earth is not the product of a human effort. God brings God's plan to fruition in God's own way and doesn't need help from us except to show up and love and be ourselves. And our activity becomes constructive only when we let God take charge. This is so freeing and has such great safety to it. There's a great story about the Golden Gate Bridge when it was being built. A number of workers, as they were building the bridge, as you can imagine, lost their lives because they're working over, you know, has anybody been to San Francisco and seen the Golden Gate Bridge and how high it is? And I mean, the George Washington, any of the New York bridges are very similar in that respect. And so workers were dying as they were trying to build this bridge, and it was taking a long time. And so the first something, you know, what they did was they said, we're going to build a safety net. We're going to stop and we're going to build a safety net underneath for $100,000, which at the time, which is still a lot of money. Let's not get crazy, but at that time, $100,000, it was already an expensive project. With the security of that net that was below them, they were able to move at a faster pace because they knew that if they fell, their lives would be spared. With the security of the net below them, they could work without the dread of uncertainty. As we live more and more deeply into God's realm, this idea of the naturalness is that safety net for us. We are free because no matter what we do, the seed grows. We have a safety net in place. No matter how ill-equipped, ill-prepared, or ill-suited that we feel, God makes it happen. We don't have to worry about being more creative, more energetic, or even more proactive. We can, and a lot of times we should be all those things, but we don't have to fret and worry if we're being enough of it. The point is God's kingdom, the pressure is off. So we learn that God's neighborhood, where God is from, there's a natural way that things just happen. Like a river, all we have to do is just go with the current and ride along. Yet there's another level, a depth from the second parable about the mustard seed that we can learn about God's neighborhood. Jesus wasn't willy-nilly when he was choosing what plant he used. And there was a saying at the time, there was a figure of speech that said, It's as small as a mustard seed. So he was kind of using a phrase that people would have known. It's like for us, it'd be, is it bigger than a bread box, right? Anybody have a bread box still at home? Right? We had one when I was growing up, and I used to argue with my, just to give you insight into me, to argue with my parents, because I'd say, we put the bread into a box, we open the box to open the bread twice if it's Pepperidge Farm bread. There's several layers of between me and my roast beef sandwich, but we just kept the bread box. My mom loved the bread box. But remember, in the context of first century Middle East, the mustard plants, this was a weed. This was disliked. They weren't garden veggies, but sprung up in the fields, and they grew about 9 feet tall. But what it teaches us that in God's neighborhood, unlike in the world around us, small things are big in God's neighborhood. The place where Jesus resides and is telling us the place we want to be, small things are big. God's neighborhood is tiny and at the same time bigger than we can imagine. But more than that, in God's neighborhood, small acts mean so much. When I was in high school, I came down, and my youth pastor was the youth pastor at the church that in Massachusetts, and she was up in Maine. And I went to seminary, and the church that she had pastored at was right down the road. But in high school, on our way down to Boston for a trip, we stayed at that church for one night on our way into Boston, because Boston, you know, Bangor to Boston is a long way. And so then it turns out later on, let's see, about 10 years later, I ended up going and being the youth pastor at that church that we spent the night in. So it was just a small, at that time, I wasn't going into that church thinking, oh, I'll be the youth pastor here in 10 years. That would have been crazy. If you told me that when I was 15, I'd be like, you're crazy. But God had it, that was a small thing, just a small thing to say, we'll stay here and sleep at this church overnight. But then God knew later on. And so the kingdom of God is like that, where these little things that are coincidences aren't coincidences at all. And the most amazing story of this is about Billy Graham. I don't know if we know this story about Billy Graham coming into faith. But Billy Graham was a bit of a troublemaker, and I think he was probably more than a little bit of a troublemaker. But he and his friends, they were like, they were going to go to this church. I think they were in Chicago. And his three friends were like, let's just go to church. And they're like, yeah, you know, it was like they weren't really church kind of people. They're like, let's just go. And so they went to this church, and it was completely full. They came to the door packed. And so the three friends were like, well, just forget about this. Let's get out of here. And they started to walk away. And the deacon ran out to them and said, you three, get back over here. I'll find space for you to sit. And that was the day that Billy Graham decided to follow Jesus. So that was a small thing. You know, the deacon that day was just kind of doing their, you know, they didn't think that, wow, look at the impact that this person was going to have on the world. But it was a small act, but it led to such big things. And that's what the kingdom of God, the neighborhood of God is like. One seed, Jesus, went from 1 to 12 to billions. So we can rest assured that the small things that we do may seem small, like we say, oh, all I do is this. All I do is this. But those small things are huge in the kingdom of God. Nothing we do in God's kingdom neighborhood is small. The small stuff or small feeling stuff is big, bigger than we can even imagine. So small is big in the kingdom of God. Another thing that the parable teaches us, that God's neighborhood is like a mustard seed, because it can and does grow everywhere, and you can't get rid of it. I hear the people out there laughing. Okay. It's true. I noticed that in terms of gardening, the things on the lawn that I either don't want to grow or don't pay any attention to, they thrive. I wake up overnight and they double in size. But that one sickly tomato plant that I'm begging to grow, I'm watching, I'm nurturing, I'm looking at, I'm hoping, doesn't grow at all. God's neighborhood is all about not worrying about it. But in contrast, God's neighborhood grows no matter what. It works because people have tried to get rid of it and it's still here. Governments, kings, leaders have tried to oppress, get rid of, still try and oppress, and the church, the kingdom of God, flourishes. So small is big in God's kingdom, and it grows where and when it wants. Another thing, and this is good news, is that God's neighborhood isn't neat and tidy. If it's like the mustard seed, it's all over the place, and you can't control it. This is good news for me and hopefully for many of you out there. If the kingdom's like a mustard seed, it doesn't grow in nice, controlled lines. It lands in one spot and pops up, and then, oh, okay, I'll grow on top of the barn and on a roof. Why not? So based on this, we have to stop trying to intentionally or unintentionally limit where God's neighborhood will sprout. That God's neighborhood reaches in all these different directions, we have to free ourselves to follow where it goes. Because sometimes we don't. My friend's church, that they wanted to do some new ministries. They were really excited, and 2 miles away from them was a state prison that had lots of needs. But the church rationalized and reasoned all the reasons that it wouldn't work. Is the idea of going into a prison to do God's work scary and worrisome for many of us? Yes. But there they sat. There sat a place where God's neighborhood could break in, where God's neighborhood could flourish, and the church never did it. So my hope for us is that we prayerfully, open-heartedly not be like that. I'm not saying that ministry is for us, but my hope is that we will open to go where the kingdom goes, because it's not always in directions or areas that we're 100,000% comfortable with. But the ease is whatever we do and will do, we get to do it together. And it means that if we're trying something and if we mess up, God's neighborhood is never messed up because it's wild and wide spreading, so nothing is wasted. And that's great news. And in God's neighborhood, we have, you know, there's lots and lots of growth, and there's lots and lots of, every time Jesus talks about things, he always says tenfold, hundredfold, five, you know, thousandfold is how it's, so it's a very lively and very ever-growing kingdom. And so it's always about growth and growth and growth. God's neighborhood is God's presence and God's love and God's acceptance and God's welcome for all. It's about welcoming and creating space for the many that began with the single seed of Jesus. Any of those things I mentioned above about growing is so important because we have to focus in on these things. It's amazing because like a mustard seed bush, God's neighborhood is a place that people flock to. You know, get it? Because the parable said that birds make their nest. That was a pun. Okay, Dennis. I wish Dennis Jedlinski was here because he would like that pun. People flock to it. It's a place that people want to be. It's a place that people want more and more and invested in because it's, you know, it's all that we need. So brothers and sisters, we're all called to it, to bask in it, to seek protection and love and pure and real community. This week when we go for a walk by a tree, listen for the birds. Morning and night, they're singing away. That's a taste of the best neighborhood that the best neighborhood of God can be. God's neighborhood is full of joy. And all of it is for the benefit of those who are enhanced by the fruits of the Spirit that grow there. And this week, remember that God's neighborhood is organic and it's natural. It isn't dependent on us to defend it or nurture it. But God's neighborhood isn't harmed by people who attack it or minimize it. And know that God's neighborhood is, to some, looks amazing and comfortable. And to others, they think it's a weed and they could take it or leave it. But God's neighborhood is here and now. It's arriving now. It'll arrive in the future. It's been here in the past. It's unpredictable, it's messy, it's uncontrollable, but it's marvelous. There's no pressure, but just a gentle call to surrender and just go as it leads. So if anyone asks you this week, what's it like where you're from? Describe to them God's neighborhood, the place Jesus is from, we're from, and seeking to dwell. Let's live it out and tell that. Amen.